Yeah. Practically suggesting that's what they should do. We got about 40.
Yes.
I never really heard anything about nobility.
You would have been charged with inciting the villagers to murder. I mean, after all, the aged Thamadaru says he should be murdered.
Well, that's the sort of thing one must try to protect these people against.
I would like to revert to that when I'm dealing with land, but yes. To return to the constitutional yes. issue, you see, Clifford's dispatch in 1910,
yeah.
In effect, denied that the Ceylon was ripe for the self-governing process to begin. And I think one could quarrel with him there, because after all, things like the Magna Carta were the work of a selfish minority.
Yeah.
And the middle class were not asking for a great deal, but they were asking for a very limited increase. And he refused to give this.
Yes.
And implied that Ceylon was not ready for the self-governing process. When I think...
Well, it's all a question of...
Timing.
Comparison, really. Is anybody ever ready for it? Are we ready in this country for self-government? I think you've got to put yourself back, you've got to go back 55 years
uh-huh.
and judge this, I think, by the general attitude. Who would ever have thought in 1910 that any of the colonies, I mean, the political view at home was, of course, another 100 years or 200 years.
Not in our time.
Quite so, yeah. And it was quite a new idea, I think, self-government.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, looking back now, if anybody was fit, it was Ceylon. I mean, mm-hmm. they were miles ahead, of course, of any, and still are.
Even up India?
Well, I don't know enough about the Indians to express an opinion.
Of course, it's such a vast place.
Yes, it's difficult to compare India, mm-hmm. which is 20 countries really wrapped into one. There's 360 languages and that
yes.
sort of thing. But it's long. The level of education, lawyers, doctors, who could hold their own in any country in the world?
Yes. I have, in regard to the earlier point I made about arrogance and bearing on this, I sometimes notice a touch of arrogance in Bose's writing. And also, I find a very strange argument in his... some of his views.
Heusler?
No, in Bose, Freddie Bose.
Oh, the Bose Narrows. Oh, yes.
For one thing, he expects Ceylonese who had come to England and been educated and gone back to Ceylon, he uses this phrase, to show their gratitude to government by working smoothly with them and not being ultra-critical.
I don't follow that.
This is not in his Bows and Arrows, but in another memorandum.
Yeah.
But what would you say about this sort of view?
No, I don't agree with that.
He's going a bit far there.
Yes.
And, and of course the thing that got some of the Ceylonese down, was some of the high class Ceylonese, was the question of Ceylonization.
Yes.
At the early part of the century. They had a feeling that the Ceylonese civil servants were shunted into the judicial line and not given administrative posts, you know, revenue administrative posts, GA ships.
I think that's true up to a point, but we Ceylon is very far ahead of any other country in uh-huh. the civilization.
Agreed.
Well, in my first year, I think, or thereabouts, I was superseded by at least 8 people. There was a local class, a uh-huh. local division, and they were
merged.
Well, I lost 8 places. The people below me may have lost as many as 20, a junior. None of us ever, it just happened. Stubbs is chief secretary at the time, and Manning, I think, was the governor. We worked side by side with these chaps. I mean, we were all doing the same job, but they had their own grades and scales. Well, they got pushed into ours. Well, nobody said a word about it.
Frankly, I haven't found the civil servants I have met to certainly have had no trace of this feeling. But I was thinking of the higher policy level. When it came to choosing GAs, the racial thing seems to come.
I think the fact of the matter is that the local division were at the time
very young,
largely in the judicial post. And it happened. Well, Bevan and Redlick and all sorts of people were actually magistrates or judges. And I think it was more or less an accident.
Well, strange to say, my father has, I mean, he says he was treated very fairly, but he himself felt that on this question of GA-ships, the top posts, it was reserved for Europeans.
Only by accident, I think, because the senior men at the time I'm talking about were practically too senior. You know, two or three, well, I might have been one of them if I'd been there. They wouldn't have been given a GA job regardless of whether they had been in a local division or not.
Uh-huh.
Another thing is that certain men were picked out as being ideally suited. The outstanding example was your own father. He had a tremendous reputation as a judge.
Uh-huh.
Not only in government, but the people who knew best were the bar.
Uh-huh.
Many a man in the bar, well, I mean, senior QCs, and mentioned people like your father.
Yes, I know another chap who chose...
But after all, there were lots of Europeans who were not suited to... To GA ships, for their temperament or general views, qualification, I don't know how to describe it.
My views on this were influenced by a memorandum written by Freddie Bowes, as late as 1923.
He retired.
Yes, yeah. Arguing against the high employment of Sudanese.
Freddie was a funny character. He said lots of things I couldn't agree with.
Yes, I know. He was as you said, he was a cynic in his own way.
He was, yes. He posed as such. He wasn't really. But he'd say the most dreadful thing. I'd go in with suggest that we should find somebody. Or doing something, breach of customs law or something of that sort. Who is the firm concerned? That's very nothing to do with it. By the way, do you want to wash your hands?
No. His principal argument was that the people themselves would never accept the integrity and the impartiality of a local person.
I wouldn't agree with that at all.
You wouldn't agree?
No. Well, this case in point, who are the offenders? So they don't have. The point is, how much should the fine be? Well, it depends entirely on who it was. In other words, always remember this. When a man's got no friends, you can kick him.
Mm.
Well, quite wrong, absolutely immoral, unethical.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't carry personalities into it. I don't believe he acted on that.
Who?
Freddie.
No, he strikes me as being, well, I don't know. He strikes me as being a very able and resourceful man.
He was.
But a bit of the old school, I would say.
Oh, very much so. Yes. He used to come out with these cynical remarks, and I don't think he really acted on them. He's a bit of a, I wouldn't say he's an actor. But he'd,
bit frivolous.
Would you like a drink?
Yes, please.
Experiment with it. Well, just touch the top.
Did you ever feel that some of the politicians suffered from an inferiority complex which led to aggressiveness?
Well, I really had nothing whatsoever to do with politicians as such.
What about Obey Sekre? Did you feel he had a chip on his shoulder?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, he was frightfully conceited and regarded himself as pretty good.
Oh, yes, I have read a couple of books by some of our politicians, and the thing that hits you in the eye is their sense of self-importance.
Yes, yes.
Did you feel so?
I did, oh yes. It's difficult really to separate or distinguish between your liking personally for a man or your hatred of him, of the, not the man himself, but his attitude.
His attitude.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Politicians generally, you can't generalize it.
Could we get on to the 1915 riots?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, they simply want anti-government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jeffries, I noticed when I was rereading him, he contradicted himself in the same paragraph. Yeah, I got it marked somewhere. He said that this was partly religious and partly economical. Quite true. Then he spoke of the government having taken the view that it was anti-government, and said, of course, it was difficult to. I'll find you the passage later.
Mm-hmm.
It was easy enough to make that mistake, sort of thing. In other words, he
there's ground for it. Government did think it was anti-government, did they?
They acted as though they did.
Pardon?
They seemed to act as though they did.
You see, in his first dispatch, Chalmers said it was non-political.
Yes.
And also, a bit in another dispatch, immediately after, said there was no question of German intrigue.
True.
But later on, there was this definite feeling amongst at least some of the European community that it was anti-government and anti-European.
Yes, true. That is quite unjustifiable, I'm saying. No evidence of that effect whatsoever. And it was an afterthought.
It was an afterthought.
I think to explain some of the excesses which were committed.
But then if it was an afterthought, it wouldn't have any bearing on the present action.
No. Not at all.
Oh, you see, it was used as a rationale.
Hmm?
Was it used as an excuse?
As an excuse for the excesses which have been...
But on the other hand, I have seen a letter from a captain, I think it's captain, a Colonel Northcote, who was at military headquarters.
Yes, I remember him.
He wrote to the government an official letter and said that they thought it was preconceived.
Hmm.
This was somewhere in the middle of the riots, maybe 1 month afterwards. Anyway, fairly recent. And and certainly, I know, as I said, there was this feeling. And Bose himself, in his Bows and Arrows, says it was an organized rebellion.
I don't agree at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was purely religious to start with.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I have come to that conclusion myself. But the question is, were some of the officers of that time, and the planters, and these volunteers, were they acting under this impression?
And the impression was it was anti-government.
And anti-European.
And, no, I don't think anyone was.
Mm-hmm.
What they were acting against was people who were raping and looting and murdering and arson and that sort of thing.
But didn't some of the planters and others fear that they might be attacked?
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in the middle of the planting district.
Yes, you were in Ratnapura, weren't you?
Yes, and I was by chance put in the position at the age of 15 or 18 months or something in service, was put in the position of the government agent who was absent at the time.
Oh, I see. So you were in complete charge?
Yes.
And how serious was the riot in there?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we killed 8 people altogether, but all in the act.
Mm-hmm.
All caught in the act and shot into a crowd.
Who were doing the shooting here?
Well, we got all the planters we could find who had a firearm. And we got a lot of local special policemen we swore in,
mm-hmm.
policemen and I, and we had about 20 constables.
Mm-hmm.
with carbine, and we blocked all the entrances into the... We realized it would come in from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
If there was nothing, we didn't know anything about what was happening elsewhere, see. Well, keep the... If there were gangs going down the line from Candy down to Gaul,
mm-hmm.
To Colombo, burning and looting, keep them out. So we blocked every entrance. And I remember the first night I posted a very senior planter with another chap and my OA and a few police and that sort of thing, and I said, your orders are not to have any, no martial law being declared.
Oh, I see. When was this? Early June? It broke out?
May 29th or June 1, something like that.
Oh, at the same time as the Colombo stuff?
Next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, we knew what was happening elsewhere. We were determined not to let anybody in to raise the local flag, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I knew why.
And this was taken on your own initiative?
Yes. I gave them orders to shoot if they saw murder, looting, arson, rape, etc., etc., without question. So this old man, very much older, needn't be my father,
uh-huh.
he said, would you mind repeating those instructions in front of a witness? I said,
yes,
of course.
It's a very wise thing to do.
Well, next day he shot into a crowd who were actually looting,
uh-huh.
and he killed one man. Another man climbed a coconut tree, and he was shot and dropped into the river that came out in the sea at Calcutta.
Oh, I see. This was the man who was running away?
Yes. And another time we shot into a crowd who were actually, with dynamite, blowing up a mosque at night.
Were there many Muslims killed by the Sinhalese?
Plenty. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Not a European's head was, not a hair of any European's head was touched. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had the greatest trouble in catching any of these people, because as soon as I appeared, I was usually on a horse. So I'm going, oh, Agent Omar, Agent Omar, you see, coming. And they ran.
You see, would you say that, I mean, at least in other places, judging from your experience there, that some of the trouble was that you were extremely frustrated. You arrived at the scene too late. I mean, the patrols arrived at the scene too late. Yes. And then some of the trouble broke out somewhere else.
Yes, yes.
Because this is reading Bows and Arrows. He said quite often patrols came back, reported nothing. You see, they've seen and come too late.
Yes.
And they were gingered up and sent with orders, for God's sake, do something.
Well, not so. Not in my experience, anyhow. It did happen in the Kelna Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they had quite illegal trials post...
Drumhead court martials.
Ex post facto, after 3 days, quiet. The combination of not giving orders in writing. Well, of course the secretary was quite overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got telegrams for him. For instance, the first thing I did was to close all the taverns,
mm-hmm.
Toddy and Eric Tavern, as a matter of precaution. Well, about 5 days later, I realized there was no right to do that at all. There had been auctions, you see, and mm-hmm. I was probably running government in for claims, civil mm-hmm. claims for millions of rupees, loss of trade.
So what did you do?
I wired to the secretary, please declare martial law with effect from last Friday. I wired back, said, it's been done, it will appear in tomorrow's Gazette. And I was told afterwards that out of the thousands of telegrams they got, there was only one which gave me the chance of doing anything.
Oh, I see. Wait, what were the others like?
The others like, while the mob's burning and looting, please apply instructions, sort of thing.
You see, I think a lot of the trouble when the incidents occurred because of these instructions, a lot boils down to the direct nature of the instructions given to the patrols, you see. And what were your instructions from the military once they took over?
From
the military people, once martial law, once they got
over? I have no idea. They took no part in the actual suppression of the riots.
In Ranpura? No.
No.
No, I see.
Oh, anywhere for that matter, I don't think. The,
Wait, what about the Punjabis? They were used in several places.
Were they?
Yes.
Well, I noticed that after a couple of days, a lot of our people weren't armed. I wanted some more rifles.
Mm-hmm.
Father said guns, sporting rifles, rifles for guns. So I wired to military headquarters and said, please send 40 rifles. Got a reply back at once, they're arriving tomorrow, mm-hmm. please meet. So I went down with the lorry, which I commandeered, and out of the train stepped 40 riflemen. With the British lieutenant in charge, 40 rifles. So I said, well, we better send them back. I don't want any Punjabi. We can manage, it's a civil matter, it's not a war.
Don't you think that much of the trouble was also due to the fact that they were using Punjabis who didn't understand English, I mean, whom they couldn't communicate with?
I wouldn't know, I found it difficult. Mm-hmm. They withdrew this subaltern mm-hmm. within a day or two, he was not wanted to see. I said, take these people back. Well, they didn't go back for about a fortnight. And I had the greatest difficulty with them because they wanted to do some shooting.
Yes, I see.
What have we come for? These women with long hair. Mm. The Kondi.
Mm.
But I kept them away from the villages.
That's very good. You see, I heard the story from my father, who had heard it firsthand from an officer who was in command of Punjabis.
Yes.
Who led them into a village. An Englishman, he led them there. Mm. And they must have been making an inquiry around a well, as far as I could gather. when this European knew Singhalese, you see,
yeah.
And he heard another Singhalese remark to another in Singhalese, let's poison the well. You know, this may have been just bravado.
Yeah.
So he caught all of this guy.
Mm.
But once the Punjabi sergeant caught on to what happened, he shot the fellow.
Yes, well, I see.
Before this fellow could, you know,
mm.
That sort of thing.
Now this Northcote chap, he couldn't know a damn thing about what he was talking about. The army, of all people, knew less about the country or the people than my foot.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point. What did you know Brigadier General Malcolm?
Yes, well, he was the main culprit. He was no fit to be in charge of the Tea Party.
He was a what?
He was no more fit to be in that position than at a Charles Tea Party.
Mm-hmm. Didn't the governor realize this?
I think the government generally just panicked.
You think they panicked?
And handed over to the armed forces.
Did you think that initial firmness on the part of the authorities in Kandy?
I do, yes.
And in Colombo would have stopped the riots?
I do, but then Space, of course, who was the magistrate in Kandy at the time. You've seen his...
I've seen him. Yeah. But his account strikes me as rather lame. Because he was very new then. He was there for two, three, he had just got there.
Just got there, yes.
Uh-huh.
And I just left.
I know.
I was in Kandy up to a few...
What sort of man was born?
Oh, just a weak old woman.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
I think that had a lot to do with it, because it fired the thing off.
There's one thing I'd like to impress on you, or at least suggest. A lot of the damage is done after the whole thing had died down. They then declared martial law, and they sent round these courts martial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the laws of evidence just went by the board,
mm-hmm.
And the proctor, who appeared, was practically not listened to very often. I've had two cases sometimes.
In Ratnapura itself?
Hmm?
In Ratnapura?
Yes.
General court martial, these are the general
Yes, general court martial.
And you think the law of evidence was not followed?
Of course it wasn't, I would say.
Then you...
And I think there are some of them convicted on very...
flimsy evidence.
Mm-hmm. What they didn't understand was that when... here's burning,
mm-hmm.
This is on fire practically. Men, women and children into the jungle, in the middle of the monsoon, if you please.
Mm-hmm.
Mums, Tambis.
Brought forward false evidence.
How could they possibly recognize one man out of a crowd of 200, mm-hmm. all screaming and shouting and crying? And then came in the... who did this? My enemy, of course.
Yes, so the Mohammedans brought false evidence, or at least flimsy evidence.
Well, guess what? I mean, getting back on an enemy of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to pick out somebody. Was that the man? Yes, that's the chap. Or who was it you saw with a burning firebrand? Senior.
Mm-hmm.
Or what it was.
Well,
there's a good deal of that. And
when you read Remembered Yesterdays by this SWRD's father, he's very sympathetic to government action during the riots, too sympathetic. But among other things, he says that his overseer was charged as being in a certain place when he was in fact in Kandy.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow managed to prove it. But that sort of thing happened, you
yes,
see.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So you would entirely disagree with Freddie Bowes when he says that, he says in Bows and Arrows that all the court martials were fair.
Well, I don't know what his evidence was. But
he had no reference.
I attended several. And, of course, it's now recognized that they were often unfair.
That is to say...
also unnecessary, I think.
When you are referring to these court-martials, you are referring to these general's court-martials rather than these drumhead ones, which were, of course...
Oh, yes, I'm distinguishing those. These were officially appointed proper court-martials, three officers.
They didn't follow the law of evidence?
Well, they got different... the army is a bit different in there. They can admit... they do admit
mm-hmm.
hearsay.
Oh, I see.
That sort of thing.
Did you feel that these things should have been handed over to the civil courts?
Certainly.
Certainly.
There's no reason why they shouldn't. I was holding courts during the riots. I mean, I put in an hour here and there
mm-hmm.
in order to relieve the pressure on the cells, in the prison, to get them out of the way. Well, if they were not ringleaders, so to speak, they'd just... I don't think I gave anybody more than a fortnight or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was undoubtedly in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
he was arrested by planters, whoever they were, and brought in. He wasn't shot on the spot. Mm-hmm. The only man who took that risk was when he came across the police, and a young girl, about 12, had been raped by 7 men successively in the course of...
Muslim girl? Hmm? Muslim?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they caught one of them, and they put him up against the wall. Mm-hmm. And the senior planter, I forget his name, he said, "Yeah, stop. Must go to court."
And he was taken to court?
Yes. And then he was released under general amnesty, which is a damn silly thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said...
That was Anderson?
Yes. No, before him.
Oh, I see.
No, before him. Prisons were so overloaded. He said, release all but the major offenders, you see. Well, this chap hadn't committed a crime under what we were talking about.
That's serious
enough. It was a civil offence. It was nothing to do with the riots particularly. They didn't know the girl was a single girl.
Oh, single girl. Mm. What was the response of the villagers to this call to attack Moors? I think it wasn't it pretty general?
Yes, the initial antipathy was anti-Moors.
Yes.
Largely because of the crisis created by the Gampola judgment.
Yes.
Orpheus, right, however. Then the economic element entered into it, because mm-hmm. everywhere you went, you get the tambi. Murakaliat kaka netitenak mehe. And they were the money lenders. They were the creditors. Everybody owed the money. It's a good opportunity, wiping out debts, sort of thing.
Yes,
I see. I know that was part of it.
What do you think of the Gampola judgment itself?
What? Bloody legal matter, I think. I think the crux of it all was whether the Buddhists were going out of their way to annoy the Mormons by taking their possessions.
Pass the
mosque. Sometimes, actually at noon on the Friday, pass the mosque, and they needn't have gone that way. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And then the question, because it went back to the 1815
convention.
Preservation of religious rights, religious views and all that sort of thing.
But as far as
I think it only broke out in one little street, Castle Street in Kent.
That's
right. Prompt action. I think if they killed 2 men or wounded 5 men.
I have read a rather biased account of it, and from this account, it would seem that the procession had always followed this route, and the Moors who were creating the trouble by protesting against it. But I it's a biased account.
Oh, that's a matter of opinion. I wouldn't have any opinion about it. But whatever it was, it caused a bit of a sensation. But I don't think... I never heard that the trouble in the little caddies in that street in Candy arose out of that, particularly.
And regarding this view that it was anti-government, I know how it arose. Bowes himself and others, they take the fact that the riots broke out within the same week as proof of a organized, preconceived rebellion.
I absolutely... Most of us were in the provinces. We were shocked to hear about it. I mean, there's no suggestion of anything like that.
Well, it's... look at 1958. The answer to that was the work of Rumour and a few instigators. Mm. So some chaps went. There must have been some instigators. But there was no preconceived cooperation.
The only trace of the... No preconceived thing. It very often, to my knowledge, broke out by somebody coming in and saying, I've heard a rumour.
And this is an embellished one.
The English people are raping our women, or something like that, or the other way about.
Did the Moors attack the Sinhalese at all?
Oh, no, they're terrified. They fled. Mm. Well, outnumbered, of course. We only... 5 or 6 Mohammedans in one little village, 200 English.
But this is where Bose shows himself to be rather die-hard. For one thing, he says there's only one person shot accidentally. And he says that was in your district.
That's right. That's the man up the coconut tree. Oh, no. It was a woman. Mm-hmm. I remember that one now. The posse of planters, half a dozen of them, I think, who were doing an ordinary patrol.
Posse in on cars or horseback?
Cars.
Mm-hmm.
Or a car. They heard sounds of noise, you know, arson or something. They dismounted or got out, approached the village, and fired from a distance of several hundred yards into the crowd, which they were quite entitled to do, even under the common law, apart from any martial law. Well, one Chilliarch forgot to reduce his sights.
He
was thinking of 200, and he opened fire at 800. And his bullet went over the village, of course, see, about another 100 yards or 20, 100 yards, like that. And hit him in the backside, an old lady, about 80,
who was
bending over doing some weeding. And she died of it. So all these cases I had, I put before the senior member of the bar to conduct the inquest. An impartial chap, not a European, at any cost.
Not a European?
I wouldn't have let any European have anything to do with the inquest. Even the unofficial magistrates. Well, it was just an accident. Nobody ever suggested anything else.
Yes, I agree.
So I reported this to government and suggested that, well, obviously, compensation. The government said, right, well, fix it. More, it's carte blanche.
Mm-hmm.
Only two actors to, well...
Yes, naturally.
Naturally. So, in the course of the next few weeks, I then discovered, when it was known, I think I used 800 rupees or something like that, that on this old lady of 83, no less than 40 people were solely dependent on her earnings, doing five grown sons, all over the age of 50, and about 14 grandchildren. All totally dependent on this good lady, probably earned about 2 rupees a month, I think, but she could hardly stand it.
But
I handed it over to the chief headman, I should do.
You see, my point is, now, this sort of statement by Bose is ridiculous, because there were lots of other accidental killings.
No doubt.
My father reports one. A constable fell down and his rifle went off.
Yes.
And shot someone.
Mm.
And I noticed in his bows and arrows some question marks in ink at some point. I was wondering whether it was yours.
I don't normally comment on books or papers like that.
You see, among other things, Bose says that Freudenberg's agents in Dumbara... Freudenberg's agents in Dumbara had something to do with the riots in Kandy, which is far-fetched.
I think it's just far-fetched. Yeah. I wouldn't take notice of that.
What sort of man was Sir Herbert Dobie?
First-class chap.
Mm-hmm. Was he a bit immature at that stage? Because he was rather young.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen it, very seen it. He'd been Inspector General since about 1912.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from his previous service, he had at least 3 years in the Arts of the Force, and he'd been commissioner, what do you call it, since the age of 18.
Oh, I see.
Mm.
And Chalmers, I mean, was he out of control of the situation? Was he dependent on Malcolm?
I think he just handed over to Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting, shooting, sort of thing. Well, who else? Civil service?
I can quite agree that martial law was absolutely necessary, but if the governor knew something about Malcolm, he could have had second thoughts about it.
Well, I suppose he thought this is, if there's any shooting to be done, we're not an armed government, the army are here to help the police to preserve law and order. Well, it's got out of the control of the police, we're calling the army, seems a reasonable thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person was the brigadier, the senior officer. Who else?
Yes, I know, who else, but then...
I think it's just unfortunate that we hadn't got somebody like... Well, plenty of officers who were much more capable of doing anything like that. And they didn't know anything about the country at all. I remember once a man came down from Colombo, a junior captain who had been in the country about a month, and he was running a bit of batter, I think. He wanted to know whether my plans for locked up in the safe, anti-riots, you know, sort of things you do next time, guarding wells, guarding railway stations, railheads and petrol depots and all that sort of thing. And I said, yes, all right, reported. Well, he said, but are you satisfied? And I said, yes. He said, you didn't take it very lightly. I said, yes. Well, as far as Rodman can be. He said, you don't seem to realize the amount of communism that's going about in India. I said, no, I quite agree. What's more, I don't care. He said, well, supposing something happened here, what would you do? Well, I presume we go to the spot. Have a look, see what's happening. Well, what about your wife and children? I said, well, put them in charge of the army. Oh, who's that? I said, the local headman. I'd say to him, I know him well, the care son, so I've got to go, I've just see if everything's all right. Oh, are you very happy about that? I said, yeah, perfectly. No.
No, I convinced him.
No thing that would ever touch a hair of the head of my children or my wife or anybody else, and I'd be perfectly happy. So he said he could see his journey finishing. He only spent 3 days on it.
When was this? Later on?
Well, it was in Mathura, yes, later on.
Mathura, I see.
Oh, I must tell you about that. He wrote to me and said he'd like to see me on a certain date. I said about 10 o'clock in the cassery. he arrived about 9:30, it seems, and I hadn't got there by then. And they walked into the office and my cadet, OA, was sitting there doing the books, and DCR 1, you know him.
No, I heard of him.
Nice little chap. Oh, this chap walked in. Mr. Strongman, I said, no, he's not here yet. He doesn't expect you till 10. Mm-hmm. But he'll be here before 10, I can assure you that. He said, look here, just get up. You're sitting down talking to me. Yeah.
Oh, there's a military chap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Arrogance there.
You stand. Oh, they were like that. How dare you?
And what did Mr. Gunawardhan do?
He was very upset. He was spoken to like that. I think this officer must have used the word native or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, this man went away to come back later. In the meantime, I arrived, and Gunawardhan was in tears, more or less.
Who?
Gunawardhan came and told me what happened. I said, no, don't worry, just go back.
The point is, that sort of thing rankled.
Oh, rankled, yes. I was furious. So when this chap arrived, he was in uniform by this time. I said, good morning. I didn't offer him a chair. I said, now, before we go on, I'll turn this off for the moment.
Yes.
Think
of it. When you look at the basic facts, you were a ruling race, and arrogance in some of them was not a wise thing, because
it never occurred to me that I was one of the ruling race. I went out to do my job and I did it.
No, I agree. You didn't agree. You didn't think of that. but the fact remains that it was so.
Well, true. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it was, in fact, yes. In all the course of my 30-odd years, I never struck anybody.
Yes.
Well, once, when a chap suggested that he knew somebody who would pay me money.
Oh, I see.
For some appointment.
I just
instinctively slugged him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ran him in for aiding and abetting an offence of accepting. That was the one law. And he was eventually found 6 weeks later sheltering in the house of a police sergeant in Colombo.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I attended the trial. He pleaded guilty immediately, and the magistrate, De Pinto, sitting there, I stood up at the bar table, and I said, excuse me, sir, may I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I said, will you please let this man off?
Mm-hmm.
He's a cat's paw, and I know all about it now. He had no conception of what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a simple, he was a Dobie, in fact, my Dobie. And I know who sent him. I want this man, if you please. So he said to the chap, well, you may thank your lucky stars that you've got such a sympathetic prosecutor. He's asked me to let you off. You'll be very grateful for that. I'm going to let you off with a purely nominal fine of 75 rupees, upon which this chap fainted. He'd never seen more than about 75 cents in a heap for months. And he owed me all sorts of money. He used to borrow money in order to pay his installments. Past debts. If you lend me 5 rupees, I'll pay you 2 rupees out of what I owe you.
Yeah.
And in the afternoon, I took my checkbook back to the office. In due course, the sergeant comes in. This man wants to know whether you'll bail him out. I said, I expect you, sir. And I paid the fine.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, he came back the next morning full of gratitude and said he'd pay back every penny of this 75 rupees at the rate of 1 rupee a month. And I said, right, sir. So after about 6 months, I cancelled the balance. And at any time I struck anybody, why should I? Sometimes I've been accused of what you might call arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Invariably, it was some offence or somebody had offended me. But it wasn't because he was black.
It was because
he was offensive. I mean, I would have done the same thing
to anybody else.
With any European who came in with his wearing his bowler hat and spitting on my floor. I mean,
Do you feel that sometimes some of the Sudanese were ultra sensitive on this point?
Yes.
It was quite likely, so I mean, one finds it even now.
Mm. Another thing is, Noemi, don't tell me for a moment.
Go on.
Typist. Interruption. Small portion unrecorded.
Respect which wasn't given to them. Merely in the form of address.
Plantists didn't like the officials because they got more respect.
Well, it's a feeling I often had. It's a discredited case.
This is an impression.
Yes. I was perhaps 10, 15 years younger than the plantist.
Mm.
Who was equally respected. But I mean, you know,
the terms of address were different.
12 of them, at least, from toe to come and see all the. And I said, it's the way they talk, that's all. There's no law about it.
Well, we could get on to the 1920s constitution, or whatever you have got on the list.
Oh, here we are then. Well, as I say, I know nothing about constitutional law, and I can only go by impressions that I had to work, condition I had to work under.
Uh-huh.
The 1020, which was the partial displacement of officials by unofficials.
Yes.
Especially by giving the legislature the power of the purse.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. 24, wasn't that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, 20.
20, yes.
Yes. I was really cushioned against direct effects by the fact that I was a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And but 24 changes coincided with my appointment as
DJ Norelia.
Yeah. No, DL, this is officer. Marshal.
Oh, I see, yes.
It was an interval.
By that time.
Well, I've just been, all the rest is about Obisekra. Told you about that.
You told me about that,
It was a good deal of wasting money. The Supreme Council, the State Council, would suddenly vote large sums.
Mm-hmm.
For such things as additional pillar boxes, upkeep of village roads, and a sort of electioneering stunt, which members vied with each other, getting more, I got more post offices than you did, and more money for the roads and all that sort of thing.
Yes, I see.
And
would you say that they had power without responsibility?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Regarding this point, you see, Clifford said it was an unworkable constitution.
Yes, quite unworkable. Utterly unworkable.
Yes, and looking at it, the principles of it were utterly wrong.
Yes.
I'm surprised that they established this sort of thing. This is exactly what they had established in America in the 18th century, and which had failed.
Yes.
It shows a lack of thought.
Yes.
Huh? And
well, for instance, I was given something like a lakh of rupees, all in one,
mm-hmm.
to a quarter of a million nearly, for... village roads. So I wrote back and said, I can't be responsible for this. I've got no staff to spend all that money. I can't look after it. Also, in one monsoon, most of it would have been, you gravel a road, well, gravel's in, down the ditch in no time. And this is going to be, say I got the lack a year, okay, I could get, I'd employ a PWD type of engineer to, and so on, and do something permanent. And they said, you spend it in 1 year, it's all. That was a sheer, nearly a sheer waste of money. I spent it practically wholly on cambering a road, so that you didn't have the water in the road, you had it into the ditch, and supplying a lot of culverts, which permanent, concrete culverts, which would last for centuries.
Yes, I see.
And then I had to beg people to accept a post office, or a pillar box at least. The villagers who wrote one letter a year, possibly,
yes.
They didn't want them. You know, I just had to put them in. A sheer waste of money. This, that type of thing. The 94 experiment was